You're very welcome back to We Love Movies. Now it's time for this.
Action! I'll be back.
You stay classy, San Diego.
And the Oscar goes to...
We Love Movies.
On Spin 103.8.
Movie news.
Joining me now is Andy McCarroll. Andy, we have so much movie news to get through. Let's start with all things Star Wars. There is talk of an Obi-Wan Kenobi spin-off, but there was talk last year of a Boba Fett spin-off. So what's going on now? Is that being knocked to the side and potentially Obi-Wan could be the next one?
It's looking that way. If you can remember, Josh Trank was supposed to direct a Boba Fett and a Bounty Hunter spin-off. Josh Trank then kind of famously went off the rails in Fantastic Four, you know, thrashing sets, showing up to work, stoned off his face by all accounts. And he was actually the day of Star Wars Celebration where they were announcing it. They had the Rogue One and the Boba Fett were to be announced on the same day. And they had a small teaser for Rogue One, the poster where you see the Death Star. And the Boba Fett film apparently had a similar teaser trailer as well. The day of, he was told not to come because they'd heard about his behavior on the set of Fantastic Four. Yeah. And then quietly, Boba Fett was taken off the schedule. It looks like that's been buried now. And the rumors that are coming out, it's going to be an Obi-Wan spin-off. And it's looking like Ewan McGregor might be coming back to do that.
Next up, Andy, It's been broken up into two parts. We're going to hopefully see the first film in September, I think it's going to be.
That's right.
Stephen King has already seen an early cut of the movie. He's quite impressed. And there was footage shown recently at the South by Southwest Festival.
It did. There's kind of pirated copies of that up online now. And it seems to be kind of going for more of, you know, the jump scare as opposed to the kind of the psychological horror from the first film. And apparently that's one of the reasons why the original director, Cary Fukunaga, who did True Detective, dropped out. His was a kind of much more cerebral film, apparently as well, much more intense. There's a very famous orgy scene involving children in the book that he was kind of adamant he wanted kept in. Okay. The studio, of course, said, absolutely not. We think that will, you know, kind of ruin ticket sales. And he walked off not happy with that, the direction that they were taking with it. From what it looks like, it's very similar to what the TV series was. And it's kind of ironic, the monster in the book appears every 27 years. And by the time this film comes out, it's going to be exactly 27 years since that the TV series aired.
Ah, that's interesting. Actually, speaking of the TV series, let us just take a little bit of audio from that. Tim Curry was brilliant as Pennywise the Clown. And here's that little moment where poor El Georgie is dragged down into the sewer. This is a fantastic scene from it.
I, Georgie, am Pennywise the Dancing Clown. You are Georgie. So now we know each other.
I guess so. I gotta go.
Go? Without this?
My ghost!
Exactly. Go on, kiddo. Take it. Oh. You want it, don't you, Georgie? Oh, of course you do. And there's cotton candy and rides and all sorts of surprises down here. And balloons, too. All colors.
Do they float?
Oh, yes. They float, Georgie. They float. And when you're down here with me, you float, too!
Finally, Andy, Matthew Vaughn is expressing interest in possibly directing Man of Steel 2.
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn, for those who don't know, directed Kingsman, which is absolutely brilliant. It's like a piss take of the Bond films. He also done Kick-Ass, which was a piss take of the superhero films. So he's quite good with the humour and the action. And I think that's something that Superman really needs at the moment. He actually pitched originally for it before Zack Snyder got the job. And his tone was very much, you know, a bright, bubbly Superman. He thinks, he was kind of quoted at the time, this Superman film shouldn't look anything like Batman. They're two completely different characters. Unfortunately, DC seems to have gone the kind of the route that Marvel have, where all their characters, despite being really distinctive in their own way, they all look very similar. Now, I'd kind of tend to agree. You know, I don't think Superman should look anything like a Batman film. That way, when you have a Justice League film where you're bringing them together, it's something really exciting because you're seeing these, you know, clash of two worlds as opposed to two similar films being brought together to make a film that looks kind of the same of what you've seen already.
Very true, Andy. Matthew Vaughn would be such a great choice to direct Superman. If they could just get rid of Henry Cavill now, That's the next big thing.
I think Henry Cavill's actually quite good. He's kind of grown on me.
No, Andy, I can't. I just can't.
You need flour to break bread. I don't think that the super his film, the films are his fault.
No, I really feel I know he's got the physique. He might look the part. I don't think he's got the acting abilities. I don't see it now. But you obviously, your mind is made up, Andy.
I think it's because we have those similar physiques that I kind of feel sorry for.
I love it, Andy. Andy, listen, enjoy the rest of the bank holiday weekend. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, you too, Gordon. Thank you.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
Then We Love Movies, we return to a couple of other movies which are playing in cinemas this weekend. Rory Cashin joins me in studio once again.
Hello.
Rory, it's great to have you here, Rory. Now, we were talking earlier on, Rory, about Get Out. Get Out!
Get Out!
Which is this new horror comedy which has been released in America, which has done huge business so far.
Yes.
From Blumhouse, the guys behind Paranormal Insidious and the Purge movies. This is a horror comedy. Is it written and directed by this fella Peele, Jordan Peele?
Jordan Peele, yeah. He is part of Key & Peele, who are very, very big in America, but never really made a splash on this side, I don't think. Mm-hmm. They had a film in America last year called Keanu.
Yeah, I heard
of that, which was about the little kitten, but again, wasn't released over here. Yeah, so in this, he is just gone pure, well, kind of pure thriller horror territory. There is a white girl with a black boyfriend, and she's bringing him home to her white parents for the first time, and the boyfriend's very aware that maybe there might be some mild racial tension, but the girlfriend, you know, she puts it to rest. She's all like, if my dad could have voted for Obama a third time, he would have. So everything's fine. They go back to the neighborhood, and everyone is white and rich except for these two staff members, let's say, who work in the parents' home, and one of them is a groundskeeper and the other is kind of the maid around the house, and they're not quite acting normal, let's say, in the eyes of anyone who has eyes. It's very clear that they're not themselves. The parents are trying their best to kind of be cool and hip in front of the black boyfriend, but over the course of it, he begins to realize that things are not what they seem.
And the title, Get Out, is that warning. Actually, I'm going to play a clip earlier on in the movie where he is introduced to the parents. And you can feel that, you know, there's a level of awkwardness as the father desperately tries to be cool in his presence. Here's that clip from Get Out.
So how long has this been going on, this thing? How long?
4 months.
4 months?
5 months.
She's right. I'm wrong.
Attaboy. Better get used to saying that.
Please. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. She's right. I'm wrong. See?
Does he have an off button? This is exhausting.
I know. And I want to give you a tour.
Can you, unpack first?
You want to unpack? Before the tour?
Now, Roy, the trailer's interesting enough. And from what you're saying, there's got to be this big twist as to he arrives in this weird white town.
Yeah.
All is not what it seems. And I'm thinking, is this something like a horror version of Hard Target? Remember Jean-Claude Van Damme, where suddenly he becomes prey?
Well, I was reading up on it, and Jordan Peele said his biggest influences were The Stepford Wives and Night of the Living Dead. And Night of the Living Dead obviously makes sense because the hero was black and he was surrounded by, and it was obviously very racially charged. And then The Stepford Wives is the whole kind of, everything looks fine in this suburb, but there's something not quite right just under the surface. And those two are very, like, once you've seen the film, you're like, ah, yes, that's obviously very clear where the two of those influences came from. And the mother is played by Catherine Kinnear, who, you know, she's a fantastic actress.
She's a 40-year-old virgin. Remember, she played Steve Carell's love interest, yeah.
And she is a psychotherapist in this, and she specializes in hypnotism, and she tries to help the boyfriend in giving up smoking cigarettes initially. Mm-hmm. And under the first kind of hypnotism session that she gives him, he's like, oh, that something about that didn't feel quite right to me. And there's a lot of that at play in it as well, where some of the stuff you're seeing is like, is this actually happening, or is this like a bad like LSD come down trip from the hypnotism that he's gotten from her? And it plays a lot of mind games on it at the same time. And obviously through everything, there's the whole racial thing. And while at sometimes it's like, it is playing itself as a pure horror film, there are some hilarious parts where you could see the people in the neighborhood are so desperate to appear cool in front of the black boyfriend that they're just, they go so far over the line. You know, like, you know, we're cool, and I prove that by saying some of the most cringy, the people in the audience were cracking up because it was just so like, I can see why you thought that was okay, but it's so not okay to ask that. It's just brilliant in that regard.
I'm really intrigued to see this, how it all comes together. What's your score out of 10?
I'd give it a solid 8 out of 10. It is very, very funny. It's very, very well acted. It's very well written. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first or maybe only films I can think of that uses like a social issue as a point for horror, which is very, very interesting in its own right. The only problem is, as a horror film, it's not that scary.
Okay.
There's no point where you probably be like, bleh, and like the popcorn goes flying in the air. But it's more just kind of uncomfortable rather than properly screamy scary.
Next up, Rory, we are going to take a look at Personal Shopper,
mm-hmm.
which stars your one from Twilight. What's her
name? Kirsten Stewart.
Thanks, Rory.
You're fine.
She'd been making an awful lot of indie movies. Like mm-hmm. she, I suppose she doesn't really need to chase the Hollywood dollar as much anymore because she made a fortune off those Twilight films.
Yeah.
Is there anything of a supernatural nature going on in this movie? Oh, yeah. Okay.
She plays a personal shopper, and that's kind of her day job. She's working for a celebrity. I think it's like a model. It's never fully explained, but she kind of travels all over Paris looking for, you know, the hottest outfits and accessories and stuff, and then brings them back to the celebrity for her to wear. That's her day job. But on the weekends and at nights, the stuff that she really does is she's a medium. Mm-hmm. And she goes to homes and places that people tell her that might be haunted. But she had a twin brother who died from a congenital heart issue that she also has. And he was a medium as well. And when they were younger, they made a promise to each other that whoever dies first, they would hang around to prove that there is an afterlife. So every time she goes to one of these homes, you know, to rid it of the spirits, she's hanging around hoping she will see her brother.
Okay.
So she's given this one house in particular, and she's convinced that the brother is there, but she's looking for proper evidence that it's actually him, as opposed to maybe a different ghost pretending to be him.
Sounds like a fantastic setup anyway, Rory. Here's a little clip from it. This is Kristen Stewart talking to some French dude about her heart condition.
My brother died here. My twin brother died in Paris.
An accident?
No. No, heart attack. I actually have the same malformation.
Does it scare you?
No. I didn't scare him.
And you are staying here to mourn?
No, I'm waiting. I told you I was waiting.
What are you waiting for?
So we made this oath. Whoever died first would send the other a sign.
A sign from the afterlife.
You could call it that. You could call it a million things.
But how do you know if it's a sign?
I'm a medium. He was a medium. I'll just know it.
Clip there from Personal Shopper. Roy, this sounds really intriguing. You love your horror. Is it a proper horror movie or more like a sort of a supernatural thriller?
I was going in and I was like, I kind of knew a bit about it, and I thought it was going to be a bit more, how would I put it, like taking its time in telling this particular story. But 20 minutes in, I was jumping out of the seat. I was like, this is properly terrifying. And every few minutes when you think the film is like, okay, it's not about that anymore, and it's telling this different story, it'll come back and like give you a properly like intense and scary horror scene. And some of the ghost stuff in this is very unlike anything I've ever seen in any other ghost type horror movie. And Kristen Stewart's amazing in it. She's really, really good.
Oh wow, excellent. Roy, this sounds like it's taking lots of boxes here. Out of 10.
8.5. Really, really good.
Very good.
If it's playing near you, do go see it, because it's one of those like hidden gem films. You know how we feel about hidden gem films, Gordon. If we can help it, We're here to help you find them.
Well, do you know what? I think people would see this and they look at the poster or even the title, Personal Shopper, and go, oh, yeah. This sounds like some...
The Devil Wears Prada or something.
Yeah, and they think, I'm not into this at all. So it's quite a misleading movie.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's going one direction, then takes you on a different one. So this sounds great. I'll definitely check this one out, Rory. Before we go, next week... It is a very much a mixed bag of movies because we've got Jim Sheridan's adaptation of The Secret Scripture. We also have the film adaptation of Chips, a TV series that was hugely popular in the 80s. If anyone remembers that TV show.
No one does.
Ponch and John were the two lead characters. I'm on my own.
Oh.
And then finally...
I was like, no one's ever heard of it.
It's except for Gordon. Just reviewing it on my own. And then we also have Life, this sci-fi movie. Ryan Reynolds, Jake Gyllenhaal is in it.
Rebecca Ferguson, yeah.
But
Daniel Espinosa is the director.
There's like no real fanfare around this one, Rory.
And you're forgetting one. Oh. Power Rangers.
Is that out next week as
well? Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That really is a mixed bag.
Bags don't get any more mixed than that. That is pick and mix.
I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the Power Rangers. Because they were such a... Well, my son loves them. Absolutely loves them. But like they are complete nutter cheese. So they're trying to turn the Power Rangers into something like Chronicle.
Yeah. I like the... and Bryan Cranston's in it. And Elizabeth... what's her name?
Banks.
Yes.
Yeah.
As Rita Repulsa. Like, it's... I'm curious as to how they managed to get that kind of talent involved. Was it just purely, like, Asher?
Yeah, it seems like a difficult one, you know, because you're trying to balance the, you know, between trying to make it plausible, the Power Rangers, but at the same time, give it an element of cheese.
Yeah, because they tried that with Transformers and look at that's going. Have you seen the trailer for the fifth one?
No. Oh, is it just as bad as No.
It's still going to make $1 billion. It doesn't matter.
Like Michael Bay just needs to be put out to pasture, Rory. But look, that's our time. I think we can go to pasture now, actually.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week on We Love Movies.